But just to give you a little bit of a report of where your finances are going, where your investments are going. In the last 3 months before we came, we flew in Christmas Day. We were averaging in our Sundays between 65 to 75. We had 125 for a Christmas program, and we are finally starting to see more and more people that are being exposed to the gospel, exposed to Christ. We've seen over 200 people that have come in and out through our church building, through different programs and events and things of that sort. And we're just blessed, and we're excited about having the partnership with you, because if it weren't for churches like yours, we could not be doing what we're doing in Chile. So in behalf of Iglesia Bíblica Bautista de Alto Hospicio, we want to say thank you for your investment. I thought it was a free Bible. Sorry. See, if you preach good enough, you don't only get a love offering, but you also get the reverence Bible. But in the last year, we saw about 25 people come to Christ. We saw 10 people baptize us right before we came. And we're just seeing a lot of great things. Our passion, our vision is to be there for the rest of our lives. Our next term of 4 years, our desire is to see two new church plants started, one in the northern part of our city of Alto Hospicio. It's a city of about 120,000 people, and then one inland in a town of about 40,000 called Pozo El Monte. So if there's something I would encourage you to do, and something that I really ask every single person I come across that's part of a church, take one of our prayer cards. They are only $10,000. No, I'm just kidding. Take one of our prayer cards, because through the power of prayer, we have seen so many doors open. We've seen God taking care of our needs, of our safety, of our protection. And what we can do through prayer is a lot greater than what we can do with money. So please, 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 as you leave, take one of our prayer cards and put it in a special part. You can put it in your refrigerator. For most Baptists, that's our third ordinance besides what Lord's Supper and baptism is. We have food. Remove that, we become Methodists. So put it in front of your refrigerator, put it in your Bible, and just keep us in prayer. And if you don't like me, just pray for my wife and my daughters that they'll be safe and that the Lord will open the doors for ministry. So that's a little bit about our ministry. I do want to dive into the Word of God. It is Sunday morning. We like to come to hear what God wants for our hearts. And before we read the first passage for this morning, we will start with a word of prayer that we see the Lord bless today's message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your kindness. For allowing us to be here this morning, Lord, I pray in this moment that you'll make us not only hearers of your word, but also doers. Father, we pray that as we leave today, we'll leave not the same way we came in, but that we will have a new passion, a burden, a rekindle of the fire that you have put upon our hearts, Lord, that we will go out and be the hands, the feet, the expression of Christ in this dying world. Father, just pray in this moment, let not anything I have to say be a hindrance to the message. Lord, I pray for clarity of thought and clarity of words and expression, that you will be the center point of everything we do this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I'm a very practical person when it comes to ministry, when it comes to preaching and things of that sort. I don't like adding a lot of fluff to it. I just like going to the grain. To the main point. And when you look what mission is all about, you need to understand that before we look at the topic of missions, we need to understand that everything we do in life is the product of motivation. The fact that you're here this morning is the product of some motivation to come here. And when we look at people, when we look at culture, when we look at society, we see that there are different peoples that are motivated by different things. There are those who are driven by that which is made of entertainment. We have those who are moved by family. We have those who are motivated by politics, by works, by money, by sports, by everything you can imagine. There are people that are fanatics about a certain thing. In fact, if I had to ask you a question today, what is your biggest passion in life? I know for some it would be music, for others it would be family, for others it would be whatever it is. But why is this so important? It's because what we do in our life is the product of motivation. Now, when we look at ministry, or when we look at the task of missions is not one man going to a foreign field and preaching the gospel. Mission is the product of what the collective body of believers gather doing together for the cause of Christ. which could be worship, which could be discipleship, which could be preaching, which could be giving, which could be whatever it is, teaching. So we are all part of God's global movement towards reaching this lost world with the gospel of Christ. Could you agree, yes or no? Okay. I'm going to have you come up here and get those amens. We do church transfers, by the way. Okay, so if you're interested, I know the Lord is calling you to Chile. Don't let the other pastor know about it. He might be worth more than the offering. So now I'm just kidding. But everything we do in life is the product of motivation. And my desire this morning for you is to expose the three biblical motivations we have as believers to be involved in God's global task of the Great Commission, which is beyond just evangelism. It's evangelism, discipleship, fellowship. There's just a broad concept of God doing his ministry, and he has invited us to be part of it. So today I'm going to give you three, very quickly, reasons why we should be motivated to be involved in God's ministry. And I'm going to use very basic, very simple, very well-known text of the Scriptures for the sake of time. So please join me in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. And we're going to see the first motivation we have to be involved in missions. Matthew 9:36 is a text that really touches our heart because it reflects the heart of God. We know God's heart through the heart of Christ because Christ is God. Therefore, when we see Jesus in the Scriptures, we can understand in a better, in a deeper way how God feels, acts, and his way of being. So Matthew 9:36, the Word of God says, "But when he saw the multitudes," talking about Jesus, says, "he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." The first principle we're going to be talking about this morning is our first motivation in ministry and missions is that we are involved in missions because of a motivation. We are moved by compassion. We're moved by compassion. About 2 years ago, my wife and I were driving downtown Iquique. And as we're driving downtown Iquique, she hits me in the elbow and she says, "Dustin, look to the side." And there was a man with his two hands around the neck of a woman down in the floor of the street. And as I was driving, I said, "Well, I have a very important hair appointment I cannot miss." Well, there's 1,000 different reasons why not to get involved. But I asked her the question, would you get involved, yes or no? Absolutely. Whether if it's getting out of the car, whether it's calling 911, if it's talking the car or something, calling for help, getting involved. Why do we get involved? It's because of something called compassion. We see somebody else's pain and we get involved. So I get out of the car, I come out running, and as fast as possible, as loud as possible, I say, "Oye, tú en este momento sal encima de esta mujer, si no." And the guy looks up, and he realizes I'm twice his size, so that's a good fact. I have a good wife who feeds me. And he slowly gets up, and then the wife slowly gets up, and she hits the guy, and I said, "I told you we're doing a scene downtown." And they hold hands, and they go walking. Modern Family. Now, why would we get involved? It's because we understand, we feel some other person's pain. Unless we care enough, we will never do anything to do or help others. Now, there is a very uncomfortable truth that many people don't like talking about, but it's in the Scriptures. And I'm not going to come here to preach doctrine towards you. You can believe whatever you want. But the Bible talks about two final destinations. You have heaven and you have hell. And those that are without Christ will not be in heaven. Therefore, you can come to conclusion what that final destination will be. Now, it used to be that preachers and pastors would preach hard about scaring people into heaven. And I'm not about that. But there is an uncomfortable truth about eternity that a lot of times we like closing our eyes because it makes us feel guilty. It makes us feel uncomfortable. But the reality is that people without Christ will not go to heaven. Now, This whole deal about missions is a time issue. It's a reality issue about where you're running against time trying to share the gospel with people that are dying. It reminds me of the 33 miners that were trapped in Chile. You guys remember the story? Please don't ask me if I know one of the 33 miners. I've got that before. The answer is yes, obviously, because no. Now, the story of the 33 miners, they were trapped because they were working in a mine that they were not supposed to be working in. And it was closed because of security issues, but they worked there anyways. And the mine collapsed. The entrance was blocked. They could not enter through the main entrance. And they started poking holes, trying to figure out through major drills about half a mile deep, trying to figure out where these men were. Eventually, day 16, after much prayer, the nation was joined in prayer towards these 33 men. They were able to punch a hole where they were actually located. And as the drill came out, a little note saying, "We are all well, the 33 and the base camp," brought great joy. But it was not until day 69 that they were able to rescue all of these 33 miners. Now, that is a picture of what missions is all about. Because the world is trapped in their sin. The world is trapped in their ignorance. The world is trapped in their addictions. And it is not until the church, and it is with the gospel message to rescue them. Each person will have the liberty to choose if they reject or they accept the gospel. But we're against time trying to reach people. And the reason why we give to missions is because we're broken towards these people. Now, you have the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who had the American dream, you could say. But when he was encountered with the fact of the reality of how Jerusalem, the great Jerusalem, his heritage, was destroyed, the walls were down and the homes were all shattered, there was nothing there. He had to make a decision between going and helping his nation or staying and enjoying the privilege of being the cupbearers of the king. And he chose wisely. Time is not sufficient to really share with you all the people that we've encountered that have had problems and pain and suffering and all the things that they're living through. And those are realities that you're exposed when you go to the mission field. You'll see that pain. But we're not just stopped with the pain. We're moved because of the second motivation. That second motivation is impact. We give to missions because we believe not only that there is a need, but that the gospel can make a difference. When we look at the scriptures, in Galatians 6:9, talks about not growing weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. In other words, don't give up and doing what's right, because eventually you will see the power of God transforming people's lives. You might say, "But pastor or missionary or Dustin or however you want to call me, what would $5 do if I give $5 to mission? What will $10, what will $20 do? Can $20 make a difference?" Now, my wife and I, we were saving money towards our trip back here to the States, and I would consider myself to be wise, not to be cheap, frugal. Okay, I am cheap and frugal. So I have a tendency of just saving money because I don't like wasting it. And we have enough money to cover the whole trip back here and visit different churches. Now, as we were getting ready to come here, we had a couple of medical emergencies, and we had to use part of that money. We got here to the States, and we mapped out our finances, and we saw that we flew into Miami, and we had to drive to Springfield, Missouri. We realized that when it came to food, when it came to lodging, when it came to gas, it was all covered except by $20. We were $20 short, which was going to be gas money, final destination. But you know what? God provided, been faithful with our giving and with our tithes, with our missions offering, with our lives, and we haven't wasted because we don't waste. But as we were driving, it was a four-day trip. First day went by. Worried because I have a lot of faith, but worried to move my vehicle enough to make it that final 60 or 70 miles. So as we're driving through Tennessee, we see this sign in the side of the road that says, "Cheapest Bibles out there." Now, that drew my attention because I'm financially wise, not cheap or frugal. So we pull off the road, and we have the girls run, and it was raining, and that's the first time they'd seen rain, like, in 3 years. And they were enjoying it, and we went from store to store, and we enjoyed ourselves. We went back to our car, and as we enter the vehicle, we buckle up the girls, and we're ready to go, and I see this one lady walking to our car. And I thought she was going to ask for money. So I started looking for change, see if there's anything we could give her, and as she passed one of down the window, could give her, "Yes, ma'am, how can I help you?" She said, "Well, I just felt the Lord wanted me to give you a $20 bill." Nice coincidence, right? You see, a lot of times we can waste $20 in Starbucks. We can waste $20 in whatever it's out there. $20 is not a lot of money, but what it meant to me in that moment was God still cares. The reality is that there's an old song that says, "Little is much when God is in it." Just picture that little boy when Jesus was preaching for a few days, and then he went back, and the disciples said, "Well, they'll faint if you don't feed them." And Jesus said, "Well, go and feed them." "Well, we don't have enough money." So we have a big problem here. And this little boy came, and he gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what happened? The little boy starved to death, right? No. Jesus took the food, he multiplied it, he fed the whole group there, 5,000 men without counting the women and the children. And a lot of times we stop there because that is a marvelous, marvelous miracle. But we forget what happened with that kid. When he went home, did he go empty-handed, yes or no? He took how many baskets home? 12. See, an original sacrifice that brought forth a great reward. What is 5 loaves and 2 fish? Nothing. Nothing in man's eyes. But when you give to missions, when you give to the church, God takes that and he multiplies it. Because God is the one who's doing the ministry. He has invited you and I to participate in the most glorious event of all history, which is God redeeming a world back to himself. Now, a lot of times we can grow weary in doing what is right because we don't see results. But that's when we have to remember that results in scriptures are reflected as the word fruit. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever done this before, but if you want to have an apple, what do? You take an apple seed, you plant it, and in 5 minutes you go back and you get the fruit, right? That's how it works. Well, that's how kids think it works when you have to do that little experiment when they're in first grade, and then you torture them to death because they have to wait for a whole week for the first leaf to come out. I sent my complaints towards the school. But going back to this, ministry, the results of ministry are called fruit for a reason. Why? Because it takes time. We have a man in our church today. He is very, very active. His life has completely changed. But for 16 years, his wife was praying for his salvation. And once he came to our church, he got saved, and boom, he's running in the ministry. We had another lady called Paulina. Now, I only have one spiritual gift, and that spiritual gift is of being annoying. So I was trying to reach this one lady called Paulina. So I would call her each week, "Paulina, we're having church service this Sunday. I want to invite you." "Okay, I'll be there," and then show up. Okay, well, she said she'll be there, so she didn't say, "Don't call me back." "We're having this for the kids." "Oh, okay, that's fun. I'll be there." She didn't show up. 6 months passed, 7 months, 8 months, a whole year passed. And I wasn't brutally annoying. I was just being normally annoying how I am. And after a year, she finally came. Then she came back with her kids that evening. Then she started taking guitar classes on Friday nights in our church. And before we came, she got baptized. See, in my opinion, there's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord. Now, if you don't like rejection, nobody likes rejection. But you know what? It's worth the investment. Because the worth of a soul is worth a lot more than anything else you have in your life. Therefore, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due times you will reap if you faint not. I could go from story to story to story to story of people that have come to Christ, but it's not the intention in this moment. But I want to encourage you to give to missions or be involved in missions because you will make an impact. But I want to encourage you quickly. So we're moved by compassion. We are moved by the desire and the possibility of impact. And finally, we are moved by wisdom. I want to ask if there's any university graduates, lift up your hand. If you have graduated from university, if it's a bachelor's, a master's, please don't be embarrassed. Put your hands on top, okay? I want to ask you this question. Why do people go to college? Sure. The real reason why people go to college is for money. Okay? It's a passion for my blah, blah, blah. No. It's for money. Now, for those who have their hands lifted, would we call them greedy? Greedy, Pastor Drabik. How dare you have a master's degree? Okay, he does it because of a passion towards ministry, and I understand that. But a lot of people, they go to college because they want to have more money. Would we consider that greedy, or would we consider that wise? Wise. In the same way, we invest in missions because there's no better investment in life that you will give than when you do it towards God's ministry. If you look back to my wife and see her, she is the product of missions. Churches about 20 years ago gave to my father, who was a missionary, who is a missionary. My father led her parents, Carla, her siblings, to the Lord. And now, have you heard the saying, the gift that keeps giving? Okay, it's not diamonds, okay? The gift that keeps giving is missions. Because now that investment they originally did in Carla, now Carla's reaching people. Now she's seeing people saved. Now she's discipling people. And all that fruit goes back to whom? To the original investor. You see, you will be walking in heaven and you will see people marching up to you and say, you know what, you don't know me. You don't know my name, my background, my history, my family. You don't know nothing about me. But thank you. Your investment helped a missionary go to the mission field, and now I am saved because you gave. I can just imagine the sensation, the feeling. Our church people in Chile are grateful for churches like you, because if it weren't for that, their lives would be a mess. They'd be living without hope, without joy, without salvation. Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven. Don't treasure it here. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 about laying up all their treasures, their inheritance, their work towards that which will not last. You see, you can get a return in Wall Street for twice, three times, 10 times, 1,000 times what you put in there. But you will die, and the moment you die, that stays all behind. You can give towards mission, and that reward you will have not for one day, 2 days, 10 years. You'll have that for the rest of your eternity. Therefore, let us be wise. I want to finish with a psalm. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that go forth and weep at bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And what it talks about in that little verse, the seed is the word of God. You can spiritualize it if you want. I will in this moment. The seed is the precious word of God. There is a price. There is a cost to plant it. But when you have that return, you will rejoice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your kindness for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this marvelous church that has faithfully, Lord, been there at our side. Thank you for the friendship I have with Pastor Drabik, and thank you, Lord, for the kindness we have already experienced with this beautiful congregation. Lord, as we partner together in this ministry, let us not forget that all of us came to Christ because somebody cared. Whether it was through the translation of the scriptures, whether it was a friend of us to share the gospel, whether it was a simple tract, somebody cared enough. And we're saved because somebody else cared. And let us continue with that baton, with that torch to change this world with your gospel. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Drabik.
I just want to say this is why we invest in missions. I trust that you can sense, even just from a brief time that a man like Dustin has shared with you, that this is money well invested in the mission field, especially when you see watching the video today to see, you know, a building going from a shell to filled with people in Chile coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the difference that's being made in the lives down there as a result of the investments that we make up here in North America. You know, you can be a missionary without going to the mission field by supporting our missionaries. We're going to just sing a verse of invitation and just take a moment, either where you're at or come to the front, to lift up Dustin and Carla and their family and all of the missionaries around the world. I mean, there are faithful ones everywhere, thousands who are laboring in the fields, bearing that precious seed. And as the Bible said, they'll doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves. That's what God wants to do, is to reward us as a church, to reward those missionaries. And ultimately, the reward will come because of our obedience to Him. As Danny and Nancy sing a verse of invitation, this is your opportunity to bring whatever it is you may have before the Lord today.